and welcome to episode 37 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown. This episode is going to be a breakdown of the new Uscro Entertainment Center, however the heck you say that. It's the new map that FFG has released right before Worlds. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit. This podcast is going to be me talking with Matthew Scott. He is a local player, one of our very, very good players. He won Las Vegas Regionals, end of 2016. He's a very good player. He made top table at the Denver Regional. And always does very, very well. So he's a great player and he's going to have some great commentary. He's been on the podcast before. A few logistics items. First off, we want to encourage everyone to join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com. We would love to have you. Second off, we would love any support you can give us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/zionsfinest. We've got some sweet alt art cards for whoever supports us on Patreon and you will love them when you get them. So before we turn over to the discussion with Matt, I just want to give a few thoughts on the map. I'm a big fan of when things get shaken up. I don't like it when the meta gets stale. I have, as a Rebel player, I've been playing Rebels for so long that the only time I've ever been a little bored with Imperial Assault was when everyone was running Scum Hunters and I was just trying to figure out what I was going to do in order to combat the massive alpha that was coming down the pipeline every day. I am definitely a fan of when things get shooken up. It seemed like Vader has just been doing really, really well. As we're going to talk about later, I don't think the new map is as bad for Vader as we all might have thought originally, but I like that it causes enough of a problem or asks a serious enough question that it's going to make Vader players think about the matchup a little bit more. I think that what is most likely is that people who were thinking about taking Vader to Worlds might not now, and they'll instead take something like IG Double Weakways. I don't think IG does as well on the new map, but I think Double Weakways are a very, very, very solid choice, considering how much time the new map gives them to get set up, and that it gives them more time to generate focus, more time to generate hidden. It's going to be a great map for them. IG, I'm going to talk about this here in a little bit, I don't think does as well, but what I think is most important to know about the map is that it makes it so that what would have been a heavily Vader-dominant series of maps in Jabba's, Mos Eisley, Nalhada obviously not, but although I don't even think Nalhada is as bad for Vader maps as we've all thought, it has given them a map that, at the very least, it's not clear how it's solved by Vader, and I am a big fan of that. So, as everyone who is going to Worlds and is involved in the competitive scene and is aware, they just changed, they announced the new map was going to be rotating in, the Uscro Entertainment Center, and that Jabba's Palace was going to be rotated out. Now, Jabba's Palace is probably the best map in terms of it is by far the most balanced for sides. Maybe that might be because Mos Eisley hasn't quite been figured out yet, but Jabba's, it has been in the meta for so long, it's been in the rotation for so long, that in a lot of ways it was able to be figured out, and eventually it was determined that neither side really did give a huge bonus, and that's awesome. I mean, like, it's really hard to complain when you've got a map where, like, Nalhada is the opposite, obviously. If you're on top, you've got a lot of problems that the person on bottom doesn't have, and you don't have as many of the advantages. So you might be able to take jets and be able to contest every single objective if you're on top, but you're still going to have to deal with Han Rangers blasting you, and there not being any safe place for you to run. And things like that are just tough. Whereas Jabba's didn't really have anything like that. I still feel like Jabba's was a really, really, really good map for the parking Vader troopers, just because those E-Riots could sit on all three stashes realistically, and it was really hard to push them off. They can't do that anymore, obviously, on the new map, but it was clear that, like, that was a strong map for Vader, although obviously, like, Han Rangers being able to open the door in the throne room and hold them off caused some interesting problems, but overall, I think that it was a really, really strong map for Vader and troopers, and that's been rotated. Obviously, that's gone. So we got news about the release on Wednesday, and Brett Kelly uploaded a Vassal file that day so that we could start playing on the new map. And people were playing on it that day, but what we did is, the local players here in Utah, we got together, a few of us got together at Demolition Games in Salt Lake City to start practicing, and we did yesterday. So I played three games. I played against Jacob Thompson running an IG droid list, JK running his IG double weakway list, and then Scott running his Vader, Unshakable Vader list. And we were all just, you know, we just wanted to get reps in. As we're going on, Matt's going to give some thoughts on where he thinks the map is at. And I just want to give a few prefatory comments before we get into that. I think the map is weird. It's a strange map, right? Like there are, there's three, the map is divided, it can be divided almost six ways, nine ways, I guess you could say, because there is the bottom deployment zone, the middle deployment zone, and the top deployment zone, as we're going to be talking about later. And then realistically, each of those zones could kind of be divided into like a left flank, middle, and right flank. And there's just tons of things that are going on this map. There's lots of crazy lines of sight. There's lots of places that you actually don't have line of sight because they've got all this blocking terrain that's edging off a lot of corners. And so it's just kind of a weird map. Now, I actually really like that. I like it because I'm a big fan of things not being settled and not being clear and not knowing exactly like where it is that you can go position all of your rangers so that you can get clean shots on your opponent's deployment zone. I'm a fan of that not being figured out yet. And so, and I think that's kind of where we're at with Uskru, but it is strange. The objective that is camp and get points is kind of standard. Like the map is still weird, but it's pretty clear that both players can easily get four objective points per round by just getting the ones that are their easy grabs. And then there's the two up for grabs in the middle that are going to be heavily contested. That one's clear. The courier droid though is just, it's strange. I don't know what the exact strategy is. Most of the time with the box, what I'm doing is I'm trying to bunch up as much as I can so I can keep all of my firepower concentrated, all of my hit points concentrated, so that if my opponent is trying to break in, they're really going to have to pay for that. It's not clear that that works out as well when you've got this courier droid that's going to be snaking around the opposite side of the map from your opponent, and every time he's going to land in your deployment zone, he's going to get 6 points. Now, obviously, you're trying to do the same thing on your side by pushing your courier droid up. But certain lists don't have, like, giveaway attacks, right? Like, if you're running Han and Jakata, I can't spend one of their attacks shooting a courier droid. It might be 6-point denial, and obviously I'm going to have to think about that. But if a focused Han spends his attack killing a courier droid, there is no way that that is that 6 points worth of value, that 6 points worth of value as opposed to taking out an E-Jet, even though the E-Jet's only worth 4. So it's just an interesting, strange, like, that's a weird mission. And I don't think we figured it out yet. Obviously, I know we haven't figured it out yet. And I don't know if we're going to have it quite figured out before Worlds. Obviously, I think people are going to have, as we're practicing in the run-up, I think people are going to have a much better idea about what their particular lists can do in terms of Han Rangers, Vader, IG, Double Weakways. I think they're going to have a better idea as to what their lists are supposed to do. But knowing matchups, how you're supposed to play against particular lists, I doubt is going to be solved before Worlds happens, which is cool. Like, that's exactly what you want. So with that being the case, the one thing that I think is somewhat established in my mind is that, well, I think Weakways, Double Weakways, got a huge boost with this map because they have no problem taking a round to get ginned up with hide and focus tokens with Rebel Care Package. Even Jabba, people have talked about bringing Jabba in, and I don't think that's that bad of an idea. I mean, he's not super good on the other maps, but the ability to have double card, like draw two cards, get two more focuses out on the board, that's pretty solid. So Weakways are a clear winner in this map, but I don't think IG is a big winner. Now, the reason why is because Devious is not as big of a deal in this map. Because unless your opponent misplays, IG is not going to get an end of round double tap. I mean, it's very, very, very hard for your opponent to put himself in a position where they are going to be experiencing an IG double tap into a blaze. So the having initiative start of round two doesn't matter as much because also, unless your opponent misplays, they'll be very, very careful about who they expose in terms of door opening to IG shots. So if IG is not going to be able to get off strong double taps end of round one, start of round two, then a lot of his hard hammer value, I think, goes away because it gives your opponent also time to gin up. Now, obviously, at this time, like, everything's kind of happening. Double Weakways are getting ginned behind, get ginned up behind IG. So maybe you might just be delaying around. In the interim, you're drawing Blaze. But also in this time, like, other things are happening, right? Your opponent is drawing their command cards that they need in order to answer Blaze. Especially Spies. I think Spies, I run right now in the Han Jakata list. I just run a single Spy mock. But I've gotten Intelligence Leak off almost every game. Have I gotten it off? Yeah, I've gotten it off. I think I got it off both games that we played last night. I was able to get rid of Blaze of Glory with Jacob, and I got rid of On the Lamb with JK, and then obviously MHD goes and heals him up. That's huge, right? If people start running Spies, and if they can reliably snipe their opponent's best command card round two before the action really starts happening, like end of round two, start of round three, that seems pretty risky, right? So I don't know. I mean, obviously, time will tell. I still think IG is super strong because, as we've been talking about this on the Slack channel, and as people who are big IG fans have pointed out, realistically, it just gives you another round to draw Blaze, and you're just kind of playing into it a little bit more, right, in terms of you're rolling up to it as opposed to just dive bombing him in, killing somebody, and then Blaze, you know, just going off, which is right. I don't deny that. I still think, though, it's the shock factor. Like, I'm not as scared anymore of seeing IG on the other side of the board, because it's like he draws Blaze round one. I don't really care because he's not going to be able to do it, and I might draw. I have time to draw Miracle Worker on the Lamb, Intelligence League, all those cards, and the time that it takes him to get his power guard off. So I don't know. I guess we'll see how that works out. I still think, though, I mean, Weequays are just going to love it so much on this map. Being able to get reliably, have four Weequays, if you've got the Rebel Care package, have four Weequays focused round two before the shots start firing. Man, that's huge. Because they're also going to have their good Hunter cards. So I definitely think they're winners here. I can see, I don't know if this is totally the case, but Morfeo, I don't know his real name. He's the Spanish National Champion. He's Morfeo on Vassal. He was running a 9 activation scum list, and I think he was also running an 8 activation scum list. It didn't have IG, but it was very, very solid. Obviously, double Weequays and your scum heroes. I think things like that are still going to do very good on this map, just because it gives you lots of activations to stall a little bit further, so you can kind of see where your opponent is committing before you can commit to the other side if you need to, or to go for the engagement. But also, you know, you're not dependent on drawing Blaze. You've got all these smaller hitting figures, but more of them, right? So I don't know. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how this works out. I think that a lot of people might be a little bummed because a lot of Imperial players might be a little bummed because Jabba's was a great map for them. But I don't think, as we're going to talk about later, I don't think they're off as bad as they think they are. Because there are so many ways to approach where you can block lines of sight. And if your opponent misplays, it's really easy for Vader to approach, like, the box or the core group of Rangers without being able to take too many shots, just because there's lots of places to hide and those doors aren't opening, right? So if you can get into one of those, avenues that Rangers can't take shots without overcommitting themselves, that's a great place for Vader to be. And as we're going to talk about, there's going to be things like that. So I don't want to take up too much more of the time just with my rambling. I just think it's going to be really awesome to see how the map affects Worlds. I like that it's thrown a kink into everybody's plans, in that it's forcing everyone to adapt. And that's awesome, right? Like, you want to have things fresh. Obviously, you don't want this massive game-ruining thing coming down the line, like Jumpmasters being either released or then nerfed right before Worlds. But a map is kind of a different story, right? Like, FFG is not, they're not tweaking the competitive balance there. They're just kind of changing the parameters of, like, competitive play in terms of, like, what people knew their list could do on a particular map. They now no longer have that information, so they kind of have to be a little bit quicker to adapt. I really like that. Also, I should say one other thing that I think gets a huge nerf is even worse than Nalhutta is the Bantha, because there's no way the Bantha can get into your opponent's deployment zone round one. Like, they just can't do it. And with that being the case, it is so easy to spread, like, along both top and bottom. It's so easy to spread so that the Bantha will have a really, really hard time getting off, like, a power stomp. In addition, even if they want to come in and get off a massive power stomp, just because of, like, the spacing of the map, it's really hard for the Bantha's backup team to get into the fray before it's going to be killed, just because, like, the doors are opening slowly, right? And they can't just blitz in. I don't know. That's going to be interesting. We'll have to see how that shakes out. Okay, so I don't want to take any more time. Let's turn it over to Matt, and let's see what he thinks about things. This is Kenny Brown, and I have got my brother, Matthew Richards, here.
Hey, how's it going?
We have been practicing like crazy on the new, the Ahsoka map, which is the newest skirmish map that has come into the rotation. It's going to be here for Worlds. FFG loves to cause mayhem, apparently, so they decided to drop a map on us right before Worlds. Yep.
May the most flexible man win, I guess.
That's it. So what we're doing is we're going to just give a quick rundown of our games tonight. But just quickly to orient everybody, what you should be doing right now is you should be looking at the map. And if you're looking at it on like Ahsoka sheet or something, the top deployment zone on the map is, we're going to refer to that as the top. Okay. So in the middle, the very middle of the map, We're calling it the Greedo's Lounge. Matt has named it, right?
Yep. Because Greedo can double move and just plop right in on the B side where those stashes.
Oh, okay.
He can get focused, run in, sit on top of both stashes, and claim 4 points at the end of round one, and then cause some mayhem.
So. Okay, I actually really like that. Okay, so that's the Greedo's Lounge. So the booth is on the left side. Now, the booth is kind of a weird tile because what it is, there's a booth in the middle, and on the top and bottom of it is blocking terrain, so you can't shoot through it. It's crazy, actually. And then it is, in the middle, is all difficult terrain. On the far right is the fountain area, and it is also inaccessible terrain, forms like kind of a cross, and then the rest of it is difficult terrain. So that's just so everybody is oriented around the map. Now, there's two sides to it. One is a weird, crazy courier droid or something like that, which you're moving into your opponent's deployment zone. And if you do get those, you drop one at the end of every round and you move it. If you get into the opponent's deployment zone, you get 6 points. And the other one is just a standard control map. And like Matt was saying, the middle tile, Greedo's Lounge, has got two stashes. The rest of them are just kind of spread around the map. So first off, let's turn it over to Matt. Matt, give us your impressions, your thoughts on the map.
Yeah, so this is really interesting. I feel like that there are, as it's been mentioned by other people, this map has a very slow start. So compared to the other two maps in the rotation, it's very difficult to get to, you know, pull off end of round style attacks with Han or with Vader or any of those kinds of shenanigans as a result of the size and the doors blocking line of sight. Also, because of the way that the doors are oriented, I feel like it, particularly when you have like a long range versus a shorter range, you know, something like Rangers versus like Vader plus Jets, you sort of end up with this corkscrew effect where if you're looking at it, if you're on the bottom, you're pushing and sort of positioning up towards the right in order to try and take advantage and stay away from all the scary close range guys, and they're trying to close on you. And so there's a lot of just responding to your opponent's positioning that I think is going to be really critical to success on this map.
Absolutely. We should mention, so the map has all four doors, but the doors are kind of skiwampus. They're all locked, so you cannot open doors except through an end of round action. And there are the doors on, they pretty much divide the board or the map into three sections. There's like the deployment zone and their antecedent, their like adjacent
staging
halls.
Area.
Yep, the staging area. And then there are, and those, so on the bottom side, the doors are in the two doorways to the left, like the left sections or the left alleyways.
Yeah, into the booth and then into Greedo's Lounge.
Yeah, exactly right. Whereas it is the opposite on the top side. Their middle door is into Greedo's Lounge, and then the other one is into the fountain. So it's really interesting because you can't open doors, and that's why Matt is absolutely right with it be kind of a slow play map, because as you're coming up, you can be very careful. Like, you don't need to open your door, right? And if your opponent opens his door, you can open something else. Like, there's a lot of ways to control when shots are going to be coming in.
Yep.
So, Matt, so tell us, you played three games on it tonight.
Yeah, I played three games tonight. So I'm running Han Rangers, pretty much the standard list. Han Rangers, Rebel Care Package.
Brett Kelly's variant, right?
Yep, R2 double Alliance Smuggler, which is kind of a bummer because the Alliance Smugglers are really bad. Like, they're basically worthless on this map, apart from activation stalling.
Yep.
So the first two rounds that I played was up against a Vader Jets Unshakable list. And it's pretty interesting. I've seen a lot of like concern, just chatter online, people talking about how bad this map is for melee figures. And, you know, I've only played a couple of rounds, so, you know, take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But I really don't feel like it's a big disaster for them at all.
Okay.
Like, the lines of sight really help these melee figures because they can close a lot more distance or they can position to threaten you without being able to get range shots in on those shorter range figures like Jets or Vader.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, there's places like the booth on the far left section. You can effectively camp melee figures there on the approach into your opponents. Because what's going to happen is whoever's on bottom, their terminal is on the left-hand side, and it is right next to the booth tile. Mm-hmm. And it is so very tough to push people out of that booth tile because they can camp like on the top left of it so that you can't really get any clear shots. And unless you're really going to concentrate fire, like if you put your Han on your terminal, if you're on bottom, you put Han on your terminal, left side, end of round, he's not going to get shots most of the time, right? Because it's going to be really tough to get shots around that booth.
I mean, you can set it up, but the problem that you run into is that if particularly if you're running Han, a lot of times you're trying to sneak out around end of round shot, round one with him.
Yep.
And it's really tough to do because if you position him by any particular door, then your opponent knows that you're gonna want to open that door.
That door has to open.
And in order for those shenanigans to take place, and so they can plan their door opening or even their positioning to take advantage of that.
Yep.
And so I feel like that in a lot of cases, like, I mean, it's very matchup dependent, but if you're playing an aggressive list that wants to run in and kill people, you want to push right up next to the doors so that when those doors open, immediately the start of the round, there's pressure on your opponent, and you're mitigating their abilities to shoot and run.
Absolutely. So now tell us about how did your maps, so you had those two matches against Scott. Mm-hmm. You were on top, right, both times?
Yes, Kay. That's correct.
So give us how did they go? What were your thoughts?
It's interesting. So the first one, it was my first go on the map, and it was a little bit messy. We were playing the B side with all the stashes, and effectively what happened is I ended up taking some shots early. Usually when I'm running Han Rangers, I'm sort of looking like, okay, do I have the cards? Do I have the line of sight? Do I have the ability to try and, like, remove Vader, especially?
Yeah, good point.
But just figures generally. And if I don't, then it's sort of like you take the shots that you can get. And there weren't really too many great shots, and I ended up positioning, like, really far back. The extent that, like, when we got into round two, like, Vader, like, Rangers, like, the fight was happening, like, literally in my deployment zone.
Wow, that's crazy.
And it was really tough on the B side, particularly with all of those troopers, because they were able to really push out and claim, I think, my opponent, Scott, got, like, 6 or 8 points from stashes at the end of round one, yep. Whereas I only got 4. And then by round two, I was shoved off all control, just trying to deal with Vader. I had some unfortunate rolls, which didn't help with that.
Yeah.
And it was interesting.
Scott was rolling with 3 block repeatedly. He's going to deny it, but his dice turned up.
And I just wanted to throw this in. In my second game, I made a 4-die ranger attack, you know, blue-blue-green-red with tools against Vader. He played Brace for Impact and rolled 8 block.
That's disgusting.
Did no damage.
The odds of that are just so bad.
It was depressing.
Yeah.
Did win that game, so...
There you go. Know, okay.
Justice for Rebels. That's right. But anyway, so it's kind of interesting.
So your first game, did you win or lose?
First game, I think... It depends on how you ask. We were sort of tracking tournament time, and by the time that we got to the round limit, he was certainly ahead on points.
Okay.
It got to a place where we both had a couple of figures left, and I had finally removed Vader, and I was able to do some, like, point control shenanigans. Okay. We played the whole round out, and I beat him to 40 points.
Okay.
But in a tournament setting, absolutely would have lost.
Because that round would never have started.
Exactly.
Okay. Interesting. But it's also your first time playing it.
Yeah, so exactly. So second map, or second round, same opponent. We played the A side. And the courier droids are pretty interesting.
They are.
I'm not a big fan of the mechanism because you don't really have a lot of options to actually play for points. Like, they just sort of inevitably pushed towards your opponent's deployment zone.
Yeah.
And depending on how things show up, like, round three, because you literally can't score them until the end of round three.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you're faced with this choice.
Because they can't be pushed, they can't be moved, right?
Exactly. They're not figures, yep. Although you can attack them.
Yep.
And so you end up with this situation sometimes round three where depending on how you and your opponent have positioned, mm-hmm. if you don't have any other shots, you shoot and try to kill your opponent's droid to prevent him from getting the 6 points at the end of the round.
Yep.
But if you have one where, you know, the shots are flying and where every attack you make counts in terms of removing figures from the board,
yeah.
you just sort of plan that both of you are going to score 6 or 12 points by the end.
Yeah.
And you race for points that way. So yeah. In that second game, that was the one where I sort of had the corkscrew effect happening. I was playing from the bottom side.
Okay.
This time, and it was kind of interesting because he sort of pushed a lot of his figures up towards the booth room.
Yep.
And so as a result, I had kind of pushed towards the hallway on the fountain side. I took a couple of really long range shots with Han and with a focused ranger, which I think was a mistake. You know, I ended up missing range and losing a focused ranger shot to nothing, which was a bummer. Like, so don't do that.
How long of a range? Like, where were you shooting? You were shooting on the right side of the map?
Yeah, so I was shooting on the right side of the map. There's a spot beneath the fountain, and there's some, like, blocking terrain there.
I think that makes these really interesting, right? Yeah, because you can't draw lines of sight anymore. Like,
So I was shooting, like, from there to the very, like, the very west side.
Okay.
Of the booth, targeting Vader just because I had focus and I was like, I want to get some damage on him before he closes. And it was like 12 range or something.
Really?
And the dice didn't really work out. My hair positioning might have been off so that she couldn't help out. Okay. So that's probably part of it. But it was kind of interesting because by round two, so R2 for me had just camped on my terminal. And by the end of round two, we'd basically traded sides of the map. So right. I had pushed up the right through the fountain and was occupying the fountain and his side of the terminal.
Okay.
I had eliminated his forces there, which was like an officer and like a jet or two. He had pushed Vader and some jets all the way through my hallway and killed a lot of my support figures yeah. and a ranger.
Okay.
And he had jets kind of scattered through the middle and the back.
Okay.
Is eventually able to kill Vader after taking some pretty significant damage, took a bad grenade on some rangers okay. and stuff and force chokes and things. And like really what it comes down to on this particular map is that it's about damage traits.
Yeah.
So you're looking to optimize every single focus, every single attack, yeah. place them in the right place so that you're not overkilling stuff too much.
Absolutely.
So that you're removing figures before they can activate and do anything.
Yep.
And positioning to try to prevent your opponent from being able to land shots.
Absolutely.
And to deal any kind of respectable damage.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, the thing that's so interesting when you say damage traits, the reason why is because it's very tough to get strong point swings, right? Like, it's just the points are going to accumulate. Like, those courier droids are just going to move six at a time, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, stashes is kind of the same way. It's very tough, I think, to get too many points from stashes if your opponent doesn't want you to, right? Because, I mean there are exceptions to this, but it's very easy for each side to get four, and then I think there are 12 available, right? Mm-hmm. And so as long as you can get, you know, don't let your opponent get, like, the remaining...
Right.
You know, all of the rest
yeah,
of
yeah, with the stashes, typically, like, you and your opponent are both going to get the four that are on your side
yep.
that you don't have to open any doors with.
Yep.
And if your opponent has, or if you have, like, a jet trooper that with help from an officer
yep.
or, like, Greedo or somebody that you can drop in the lounge
yep.
that to scoop up some extra points,
yep.
Suddenly you can get a points advantage there.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the stashes, like, it's pretty matchup dependent. Like in terms of like who can pressure for points,
yes,
and whether the points are going to matter,
yeah, it's a good point.
Whereas the courier droids just really feel like it's a positioning and it's a damage battle,
yeah, very much,
and particularly because if you have excess attacks,
mm-hmm.
Even if it's on like Hera or some riots. Or something like that. Like if you have people that are positioned safely, they can try and snipe out droids to
yeah.
give you a damage or a points advantage.
Does Zilla work on the droid?
No, because they're not
figures.
They're not actually controlled by your opponent.
Okay.
Like they're I guess they're technically owned, but yeah.
It's your opponent's object, but not a figure. Yeah, that's
yes.
big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think. So how did your second game go? Did you win?
I did win the second game.
Okay, mm-hmm. So so it kind of confirms a little bit of what we thought in terms of, I think that melee figures are okay. They're not getting completely mm-hmm. like beaten away because there are lots of ways to approach that break lines of sight, right?
Yeah.
And there are ways mm-hmm. to safely approach and like get into people's grills. But there's also a lot of ways to react to that. And so... I do think that the map is going to be better. I think weak ways are strongly benefiting from this. I think
yeah.
Devious Scheme is a loser because having initiative round two.
Yeah, I think that time will tell on this, but one of the like theories I have that's kind of about the weirdness of this list
uh-huh.
is this might be for the first time in Imperial Assault history the time where you actually want initiative round one.
Yeah.
Because you can pick the side that you want.
Yep.
And because frequently...
You want initiative round three.
Yeah, you want
yeah.
initiative round three, and the fights aren't breaking out end of round one, start of round two. It's
yeah.
like mid to end round two.
Yep, absolutely.
And so you can, like, you're like right in the middle of a firefight when the round two to three break happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing about this is that there's a lot of things that were not good, like Jabba... is going to do, I don't think he's necessarily worth taking,
mm-hmm.
But he is much more worth taking, right? Because you've got more time to gin up focus and command cards, right? And
yep.
so these things that like Rebel Care Package, Jabba, Weequays, these things that require turns in order to get rolling. Man, this map does great things.
I also think, you know, and this is something that you've pointed out before, Kenny, I think that Ahsoka has a real home on her own map. Yes. Surprise, surprise.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, and I don't know that the change is big enough currently in order to, like, bring her to the forefront or to, like, be worth considering, like, swapping in. Because I think that she struggles quite a bit with, like, one, not Han-itis.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Two, her, just the ability to adequately pressure on the other two maps in the rotation, but she can leap all over the place on this map.
Yep.
And like, because of all of the weird sight lines and angles, she can effectively pressure half of the map from, like, a very safe position.
Yeah,
that's... and just threaten to just remove a figure from the board all by herself.
I love that. I absolutely love that about this map.
And so down the road, you know, maybe after the next rotation, it's possible that Ahsoka, you know, comes back into the limelight.
Yeah, I would like that. I mean, like, I think we have seen, we talked about Ezra. Ezra is a Force user who, he's not awesome because he's probably a little bit overcosted, but he's got that same thing of lots of mobility. He's not, he doesn't have Ahsoka's Force leap, but they've both got the ability to move 8 spaces and perform some pretty strong attacks. And it is going to be, I mean, this map really will help melee figures get protected as they're on the approach, right? Because the opponent, in order to remove them, has to put themselves in difficult positions. Yep.
So I want to jump in really quick and talk about my last game that I played, which was up against a scum list. So it was IG-88 and Sentry Droids with, like, BT splashed in and some stuff. So it was kind of an interesting... So, and I decided to experiment a little bit. So on this particular, I was on the top on this side, and I was looking at my smugglers. We were doing the droid, courier droids, and I was like, well, they literally don't do anything other than the activation stall.
Yeah.
The other possible use for them is you can use them to body block.
Yeah.
So that, like, some of your really valuable figures can get a shot while they can't get, you know, have return shots fired back at them.
Yeah.
And so I did kind of a silly, stupid thing. So I put both of my smugglers just outside the door into Greedo's lounge on my side.
Okay.
And the two spaces there.
Yep.
Thinking, okay, I'll block line of sight. I put Han on one corner. I put a Ranger on the other.
Yep.
And I sort of had Rangers, Hera, all of those guys spread out to either side, thinking, like, okay, I'm going to try and, like, take advantage of sight lines in the middle.
Yeah.
And I had initiative round one because my opponent had Devious.
Yep.
And he opened my door in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
And he had positioned, like, he had IG and sentries and BT-1 on the other side. And so I was like, well, let's see how this goes. So I opened his door on the other side. Right. And I played Call of Vanguard, tried to snipe out a sentry droid. Wasn't very successful. And, like, the other mistake that I had was just sort of assuming that the range was going to be a big obstacle.
Yeah.
And so what happened is those sentry droids rolled up and they multi-shot and removed... removed those
the smugglers.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
And some of my support figures, so they got 3PO, they got some stuff there.
Wow.
And then so it was bad. and then IG was able to move two, and he took two attacks and
killed Han. Yeah, that's right.
Fortunately I had some focused Rangers, so my Rangers in the meantime had dealt some damage. They had Han's return shot did 5 damage to IG, and with the help of some cards, a second Ranger killed IG.
Okay.
So it was like, you know, he took two attacks from IG to kill Han.
Yeah.
And Han returned fire plus, like, a focused, helped out Ranger shot removed IG.
Yep.
And then we were kind of off to the races. And that was interesting because we were both kind of trying to play the sniper game.
Yeah.
And I think I had a bit of an advantage because Rangers that are able to hide after they remove figures.
Yeah.
And you can just position really safely in those hallway staging areas.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so,
especially on the top side, because there's four hallway squares on both sides, where if you're in the middle two, it is very, very, I mean, you have to approach in order to get shots. Like, exactly. you can't do corner shots.
And so that was the game where I actually shot and killed a droid. And it was, I think it was a Hera and an R2 shot, funnily enough,
there you go.
That removed it. But it was one of those situations where I was like, well, I don't have any good shots,
yeah,
but I can kill a droid of his that he can't kill one of mine. And so I can gain a points advantage that I can pressure into the next round.
There you go.
So look for opportunities to do that if you're trading long shots.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, this is going to be interesting. We're going to be talking about this more over the weekend. We're going to have another episode, but I just wanted to get our preliminary thoughts, and especially Matt, because he's playing Han Rangers, which I don't think Han Rangers are not going to get a huge boon on this map. I think there's pros and cons, right? No.
I think that, like, funnily enough, I think they actually like Jabba's Palace better.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can throw smugglers in the pit. Yep. They can abuse those sight lines. They can pick up those crates.
Yep.
And so you went from smugglers being these figures that could
Marginal value, right? Yeah. Like they can get points,
but they could earn like double or triple their points value or more. It's if your opponent doesn't respond.
Okay,
to
that's right. That's true.
Right. And whereas on this map, they're just stalling.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yeah, I completely agree. Okay, well, we'll have more comments and thoughts later. Thank you so much.